Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I was so excited last time I had on my guest. He is a brilliant guy that is really shining a light on things that most people don't really understand, certainly don't seem to know is a big issue and a big problem. And he's doing an incredible job. He's got a great book out, Dark Aeon, and he is the great Joe Allen. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Mel, very good to be here.
Thank you. I'm very excited. The first time I had you, I had so many more questions. So then I reached out to you again, and that was before the world got turned upside down and shaken as it has since October 7th again. And I wanted to get your take a little bit because for those of you that don't know him, I'll let you tell my audience that hasn't seen you before a little bit about your background. But he is also on the front lines of watching the cognitive warfare, the transhumanism movement, and what is going on with technology that many people don't realize is very, very important to understand. So just a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into what's going on and what people should know.
The only two things I'd like to mention are that I am the tech editor for Steve Bannon's War Room, and just keep trying to get people to dig into Dark Aeon. I think that a lot of these crazy stories coming out of the tech world will make a lot more sense with the context that I provided there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree very much. And that's why I wanted you to come back on, because there is a lot of information going out there, internet, and how it is being used to kind of manipulate minds and kind of use people psychologically as weapons. But when you look into the documentation, and I sent you some stuff, how advanced is the, not only how advanced, but who is controlling or do we know who is controlling this kind of technological warfare that it appears we are in? What is the big picture of that look like?
You know, just beginning with some of the things that you had brought up in the emails, we were talking about DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects right. Agency for the United States Defense Department. Many of the technologies that we talk about in transhumanism, or just the general specter of technocratic control, those technologies are funded and developed through DARPA, initially for military purposes, then making their way into the public sphere. A really good example would be the old Black Mirror, the smartphone. Most of the components in the smartphone began either in the Department of Defense or DARPA itself. That includes Siri, by the way.
Right.
The components such as the LCD display, the touchscreen, the GPS tracker in your phone, the cell phone technology in general, that comes out of the Defense Department, and again, primarily DARPA. As I just mentioned, Siri, the chat bot, right, initially produced for military purposes, bought up by Apple, and now is in millions, possibly billions of hands. So these technologies tend to start with the military and trickle down. Same thing with the internet, of course. ARPANET was initially created in the late 60s as a way of making the communication systems in America more redundant. So they had multiple nodes of communication. Computer communication was laid on top of that. And what began as ARPANET then became the internet, which is by some reckoning the global brain in which we all have virtual personalities that inhabit it. And it's also the primary battleground for cognitive or psychological warfare, for narrative warfare. And I would say that the combination of the internet with the smartphone has probably been one of the most, if not the most, dramatic psychological transformations in humankind's history. Of course, it rides on the back of television and all of that, but I think the two-way control pathway of the smartphone, and also just its ubiquity, its versatility, all the things it can do, this pretty much amounts to me anyway as the most powerful weapon deployed on the minds of human beings en masse. Some of the other things we were talking about, those things like direct brain computer interfaces, direct brain control. Again, this has a long history with DARPA. they're at the forefront of brain computer interfaces, or just brain stimulation, or brain activity detection. And the projects that we see in the news all the time now, Neuralink, Synchron, BlackRock Neurotech, those technologies are by and large first developed, funded, developed, and tested through DARPA funding, DARPA programs, making their way into these corporate, you could say shell, but I think the corporations do have a lot of volition in this process. And then if Elon Musk has his way, they'll roll out on the market within the next 5 to 10 years. You can get your own personal brain computer interface. But that's just a general overview. If you want to drill down on any one of those, I personally, my opinion is that the smartphone is far more of a problem than any direct brain computer interface, any nanobot schema that would allow a human brain to connect directly to the internet. I think the thing that people need to worry about with 5G is not necessarily the mind control waves coming off of it, but much more the way in which fast internet has long affected and will continue to affect human psychology.
Yeah, I agree with you, and a lot of almost everything you say, obviously, and I do recommend your book highly to everyone that's watching this, because you do break it down in a way that it doesn't sound like science fiction or something that's out there. It is in here. But what the craziest part of this all is, they're selling it to humans. It just at your average human being as convenience, as, you know, you see the people, they'll walk up, they'll get their eyes scanned. They'll put their hand to get their biometric data to pay for things at the Amazon store or at Whole Foods. You know, they also don't realize everything that they put in their phone. They don't know what these apps on the back end, you know, who's getting their data, who's scraping their data. They have all these apps they don't need on their phone that are actually watching them. And the big question I think that comes from that is, when you do look at DARPA or you look at NATO's cognitive warfare document I sent you, or any of this stuff, they are talking about it in terms of that this is for the military. These are military weapons. This is for the military. And again, it makes me feel kind of like the entire idea that there was no informed consent during COVID and with the shots and all of that. There is no informed consent for the government, let alone the military industrial complex, let alone the global military, to decide that they will be doing this with people, and people are signing up on it by having a smartphone without realizing that they are giving away all of themselves basically to an entity that they don't realize that they're giving. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody,
yeah.
People aren't putting the informed, they don't have informed consent. They don't know what they're doing to themselves.
Yeah, it's very easy to click that I accept on terms, right, and conditions. It's so complex. There's such a broad network of different corporations, the third party companies, the big corporations themselves, government entities tracking people on their phones. Right. You know, it's not really. It would be difficult to get rid of it, mainly because it's so ubiquitous. There's so many elements. You could make it illegal for the government to track people. The corporations would continue to do so. Same thing with the corporations, the third parties, and the government would. You get rid of all of them, but then you've pretty much defanged a techno-industrial, military-industrial techno complex. I don't know. I'm trying to smush that together into one. You know what I'm getting at.
I do.
But to look at the infrastructure of these technological systems of control, there's so many different facets that the whole thing would have to come down,
right,
for that to go away. Really, the only immediate choice is figuring out how to opt out of it, or at the very least, to protect your information, cloak yourself. Nothing is foolproof. I think you should pretty much put anything into your phone, assuming that it would be broadcast. The old Jumbotron test. Never put anything into your phone that you wouldn't see displayed on a Jumbotron in the middle of a basketball game. Taking that from someone who is, I'll just say I didn't come up with that and leave it at that.
Okay.
But, yeah, you've got VPNs, right? The virtual private networks. VPNs are very good at least concealing your transmissions from a large number of entities. I don't think you could assume that a VPN is going to protect you from the NSA or the FBI or the CIA, maybe not even the CCP, but probably. But it is going to at least narrow down that funnel, right? You're spraying your data into. Another is end-to-end encryption. You've got Signal is very, very good at that. You've got ProtonMail, also very good. It's quite likely that there are, well, it's pretty much assured, I think, that there are, again, the top organizations will find ways to get into your phone and see what you're doing on there if they want to. Right. But it at least narrows it down. Those are a few. In general, I think people should probably not be acculturated to putting their private lives, and certainly not very, very highly sensitive messages on a phone. Even recent events show us in a really kind of messed up way that when an authority is turning its attention on you, organic communication is a lot more redundant, and outside of people running their mouths, organic communication is a way to go dark. So those are at least things to keep in mind. But yeah, in general, I think that the entire culture of creating virtual personalities that exist out here in cyberspace, even what we're doing here, I mention it all the time, but it should, at least the attention should be there, that this entire process is creating a type of human being, at least among many people, where the virtual self is more relevant, more important than the social self out in the wider world. Right. For a lot of people now, the most important things that they're doing, their most important persona, is that one that exists in this virtual space, the one that exists online. Right. Be it anybody in media, that's going to be the case. But by and large, in youth culture, the social identity is being tied more and more to that virtual identity, so that it becomes somewhat indistinguishable. So, one of the things that I think is really notable about some of the documents that we were talking about, you'd mentioned cognitive warfare that comes out of NATO. Also, there's a great document. I've actually got a list of all these, if anybody wants to check them out, with a short analysis synopsis. It's a two-part series on my site, jobot.xyz. 10 white papers is beyond the Great Reset. 10 white papers describing the human machine hybrids, something to that effect.
Right.
But the very first one, and it's very, very interesting, the first one was produced by UK's Ministry of Defense. It's called Human Augmentation: The Dawn of a New Paradigm. This one made the rounds almost immediately after it was published and discovered. It was published in 2021. But the philosophical framework that they are going with is one of a spectrum that these technologies, from the telephone to the television to the computer to the smartphone to virtual reality to direct brain computer interfaces, so on, that they all exist on a spectrum. And right now we're at the smartphone, but more and more you're going to see the incorporation of everything from non-invasive brain computer interfaces, augmented reality, where holograms are kind of projected over the environment into your visual field, virtual reality, fully immersive virtual reality, and of course, the looming, always threatening brain-computer interface drilled straight into your skull, creating a direct link between your mind and artificial intelligence systems, or nano swarms going through your bloodstream and doing the exact same thing. And all of those advanced technologies, beyond the ones that are normalized now, ones that have been in development for decades that led up to the old Black Mirror, all of those are under development right now. We know pretty well at this point about the details about what's going on at Neuralink, what's going on at BlackRock Neurotech, what's going on at Synchron, Charles Lieber was working on at Harvard before he was arrested, trying to create cyborg tissue with injectable Neuralace, and was doing so with funding, under the table funding from the CCP. So you can be sure that technology is going to China. And the Chinese are, of course, working on this too.
Right.
But beyond that, you've got a lot of known projects involving using magnetic nanoparticles to fill the brain. A lot of this is being done on mammals, but you use it to fill the brain in order to monitor in real time neurological activity so that you can then have a computer system that analyzes your neurological activity and translates that into meaningful messages. And then the real tricky part, and they're able to do a lot of different things that we know about. You can just imagine what goes beyond, but the input to input things into the brain, much more difficult than getting it out, but they're getting really, really good at getting it out. In any experiments that they're doing on human beings to get messages into the brain, they're keeping those under wraps pretty well. Right. But again, that's the declared mission. So you can be sure whether it's on American soil or whether it's in horrific black sites across the planet, they're giving it a go somewhere. So that spectrum, just to wrap that all up, that spectrum is really, really important because, you know, the telephone had all sorts of precursors that eventually led to normalization. It took quite some time to get there, right? To get from the telegraph to the ubiquitous telephone. Same thing with television, so on and so forth. And of course, the same thing with computers, the internet, and the smartphone. All of that was building up from what were previously secret projects that slowly revealed and then very quickly commercialized and deployed. And so I'm not saying that everybody's going to get a brain chip tomorrow. I am saying that the will is there, the funding is there. And when you look at polls of the American populace, to some extent, the demand is there.
It's crazy. So, I know. Yeah,
madness.
Yeah. Now, you brought up something about Lieber. I covered a lot of him before I was kicked off of YouTube because I did really extensive stuff into where Jeffrey Epstein was funding his money. He was very into transhumanism, very into a lot of this stuff, very into seeding the planet, all kinds of things. But he was very involved with a couple groups, including the Edge Foundation, the MIT Media Lab, certainly was funding Lieber and whatever else was going on with the Human Genome Project. But around that time also, Barack Obama started the Brain Initiative. And I think a lot of people looked at that and thought it was about mental health and that it was about, and again, the taxpayers are funding a lot of this as well, not just these billionaires that meet at the Billionaire Awards and the Edge Foundation to discuss, singularity and all of that. But how much is the American public funding this? I mean, are we funding this track and trace surveillance, out of control technology that will be used on us? I mean, that's what it seems like to me.
Absolutely. We are, and we have, again, the pipeline in general goes from taxpayer money into the military, from the military into programs like DARPA that then fund military contractors, university laboratories, various tech companies outside of the actual military industrial complex. Once those technologies, you've got the proposals, then you've got the development phase, that whittles away a lot of failures. But once you get something that's successful, then you're going to either have the deployment in the military or you're going to have the investment from corporations to actually develop it for a commercial product. And then from there, it's also another whittling process, which ones actually work out in the wild. But so all of the, there are exceptions, of course, but there's always been a tight relationship between the U.S. government and Silicon Valley with Google, with Facebook, most likely has a very, very tight connection. Whitney Webb has done excellent work, not proving anything, but certainly showing some very strange coincidences with the LifeLog program that was run out of, I think, the DHS or NSA or one of the three letters, and LifeLog was intended to log your life, to monitor people and create dossiers. And according to her reporting, it was like the day they shut that down, they started, Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook. Right. Now, is that, who knows? They didn't cover that in the movies. It's very likely that it was initially intended for something like that. Undoubtedly, at this point, it is being used for that. In short, Mel, your tax dollars are absolutely funding the next wave outside of the private, you know, private equity, the next wave of surveillance technology, control technologies. And, you know, two of the things that we covered a lot on the War Room, I know you've covered this from the beginning, but, you know, with the formation of ARPA-H, the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health.
I was going to bring it up. That's where I was going. Yeah, talk about that.
That was, if I'm not mistaken, September of last year. It's been a minute, but last year anyway, it was announced that this is just in direct connection with DARPA. Right. It's just the health element.
Right.
And of course, it should be recognized or at least reiterated that DARPA was behind most of the initial funding for mRNA vaccination research.
Right.
And a lot of military technology or a lot of vaccination programs have the backing of military organizations because soldiers, of course, are, you know, potentially going to be exposed to bioweapons. The public would be. And of course, the military is geared to respond to something like a pandemic or a bioweapon that goes off. So it's all tied together.
Yes.
And ARPA-H represents the fast forwarding in that direction of health. And it began with the inaugural director, whom I believe is still director. I haven't checked in on her in a while, but that's Renee Wegrison. She was a DARPA project director for 4 years, was then involved with the corporation Ginkgo Bioworks, which was Ginkgo provided genetic testing for the virus sequencing for, you know, surveillance of the pandemic. And then also they were involved with the production of the mRNA vaccine through Moderna and a number of other things. So she's in the mix of all this. And in their first funding round, it's all the things that you would expect: Internet of Body sensors, artificial intelligence driven digital twins of human body, you know, of course, vaccination programs. And then, of course, funding going towards a messaging or public relations campaign to encourage the public to trust the medical system and to alleviate any worry that this direct connection between the military-industrial complex, the draconian pandemic measures, the insane transhuman-oriented technologies such as brain-computer interfaces or direct genetic engineering, and our military. Why would you possibly worry about that? So, yeah, all in all, this is, you know, it's a whirlwind that begins by and large with military ambition and ends with you know, memes jammed into your brain 24/7 until you're finally compliant.
It's so funny. I don't know if you saw me looking down, but I was actually looking up Ginkgo Bioworks while you were talking to bring up that woman that's running that. And that actually, you know, their tagline is biology by design. They also happen to be partners of the World Economic Forum. They also have
the organism company.
Right. Exactly. Biology by design. The other thing is, this is where this gets very scary. And that woman, that's it. So you're talking about it, and I was looking for it to ask you about it. I was like, oh, this is perfect. That's why I think you're just awesome. This is a lot of information to keep in your head. And when I really first reported on that was when, Joe Biden put an executive order. We know it's not Joe Biden, called something Cancer Moonshot. And inside this executive order was all about this new HARPA. I mean, this new DARPA that was a health DARPA. And this company came up and that woman came up and I said, what is this about? And I started looking into that back then. And then he had another executive order about like biometric data. And that's why when I reached out to you last week, I said, you know, they must be, because they're not doing these executive orders before things happen. They're doing them to kind of put it into our faces and into normalcy that this is a plan. The scary part is, it's one thing when you think that it's this globalist, billionaire psychopath group of people that are hell-bent on transhumanism. It's another thing when there's executive orders being put across Joe Biden's desk that he's signing that basically are in line with everything you're talking about. That's when it gets scary. That's when the American people have to understand this isn't science fiction and it's not for anyone else. Whoever's running the White House now, and we all have our ideas, I mean, Bannon, you know, lays it out daily, is all in on what you're talking about. They're all in on it. They have to be, or why would they be passing these executive orders to kind of make it law that we incorporate this into our lives in America? Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's as I often say, it's worse than a conspiracy. It's a tendency. You know, these sorts of programs are going on all over the world. This is, right. You know, it's not. I've seen a lot of different schemes that locate the control in any one central place. You know, be it a bloodline, be it the reptilian bloodline, be it you know, an organization like World Economic Forum, Bilderberg. You know, on and on. Like, you know, I think that it's better for me anyway. Better conceptualized as a network of highly centralized organizations that have tremendous amounts of power, but they're oftentimes in competition with each other. They're at cross purposes. But from our perspective, the masses, it might as well just be one big eye at the top of the pyramid, because from our perspective, they are somewhat monolithic and increasingly inescapable. And from their perspective, no matter which mountain peak you're looking from, we all look like lab rats.
Yeah.
So it's very, very troubling the direction it's all going. And that language, I think it was in the first paragraph, maybe the third, it was in the first section, third paragraph. This was something that used to be right at the forefront of my mind, but that moonshot executive order that you just mentioned, the language used talked about being, you know, that we must be able to program cells like we program computer software.
Right.
That way of thinking is very pervasive. You know, I document this in my book. The third chapter goes into basically all of this that we're talking about, but you know, you've got everyone from, say, Station B at Microsoft, where, you know, the woman Dunn, a Dr. Dunn.
Anita Dunn, right? Her?
Without digging it up.
She's a different person back there. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
But she, you know, they did this promo video just before the pandemic where she's talking about how everywhere she looks, she sees cells as these little computers. And that the computer revolution was all about ones and zeros, but the next revolution will be about programming the A, T, C's, and G's of the genome. And so they've got, much like Ginkgo Bioworks, they've got these biofoundries, which are largely robotic laboratories, most of it run autonomously, in which they can sequence genomes in microbes or samples of tissue. They can mutate the genomes in large numbers and replicate them. You know, with Ginkgo, they're doing it, they're putting it in all sorts of things. They're putting it in the soil, they're putting it in the food, just mutant microbes that are safe and effective. And then, you know, Microsoft's working on much the same. And then, of course, you have Moderna. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I said, right. I mean, this is all true. And it's also, again, when I was really digging into the funding that Epstein was throwing around, there's a whole bunch of guys that have been doing this. It also goes into CRISPR technology and all of that. But keep going where you were, because I just want people to understand that this is they're not developing this just because it's cool. Like there is
No.
a, that's why your book is called what it's called. This is not about just a technology for technology's sake or a science for science sake. This is about control, monitoring. I also wonder, since Joe Biden came into the White House, Eric Schmidt has been very behind the scenes. A lot of the companies, a lot of the Department of Defense contracts, all of that. Schmidt Futures is very involved right there as well. So, behind the scenes, he wrote that book with Kissinger about AI and the future of AI. And he also was very involved, as you know, my audience knows too, because of shows I've done on it, in Google China and the track and trace surveillance software and Sidewalk and all of that. So, I just want everyone watching this to understand this isn't science fiction. These people have a lot of power right now because of the structure that has been put, forced upon us. And it's real. And I think people need to understand that they do still have a certain amount of control in order to stop this, but that it is in full play and that the installed regime right now are certainly, incorporating a lot of this stuff without us fully being aware.
I would love to think that a Republican administration would do things very differently, without a, another monkey wrench like Trump. Almost any other Republican that gets in is going to more than likely play ball. I
I
mean,
agree.
they don't call it a deep state for nothing. It runs real deep. And even we saw in Trump's during Trump's term, his one term in office, any of the attempts at breaking through that system or halting any of these designs were met with tremendous resistance and oftentimes didn't pan out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And so, it's not that I don't think there should be relentless pressure to keep these guys on a leash. There should be relentless pressure to deconstruct these programs if possible. But I think that that's it would be a very naive proposal at this point. In many ways, for the very near future, anyway. The three things that I think that people have to realize is that these programs are more than likely going to go forward no matter what. The second thing is that all of these programs are more than likely geared towards benefiting those in the military industrial complex or in the corporate sector or in the financial sector, not you. All of them are being sold as ways to give you control over your life. But by and large, even if it's well intended and I, my goodwill and charity is running pretty thin there, it's for them, not you. But the third, this is also really important. The third is that so many of these technologies don't actually pan out as was planned. Very often, the technologies themselves or the whole system ends up coming up short. That you've seen that in the U.S. military technology that during the initial Afghanistan invasion, when drones, which by the way had been under development for 30 years out of public sight, out of public sight. Suddenly came onto the scene, and drones were going to be the way to have precision strikes, and no more civilian deaths, and we'll get rid of we'll cut the head off the snake, and all this shock and awe. So yeah, that didn't happen. And to the extent that it did happen, it didn't stop. It didn't. It still didn't end up with the American Empire having a permanent controlled outpost in that area of the world. We're now no longer there. We've been ousted. So. I guess that's just to say that these people aren't invincible, nor are their designs. They may have geniuses working underneath them, but as many of you know, geniuses are pretty retarded in most other elements of their lives. And these guys that are, funding this and are the directors of these various programs, a lot of them, especially in the corporate world, they're not geniuses. They're smart, they're clever, but mostly they're thinking in the short term. How much money can I make now? Or how can I assert my power right now? And to the extent they're thinking long term, they're thinking oftentimes from what I can tell, in these kinds of weird sci-fi fantasies of a future of human machine symbiosis and all of that. Again, if you look at the white papers, they're all recent. in the Beyond the Great Reset series, you know, it's very obvious that from the Royal Society of London to UK Ministry of Defense, obviously DARPA, obviously RAND Corporation, across the board, you know, NATO, you know, across the board, you've got this dream of human machine symbiosis. And you know, I hate to say it, Mel, but as we speak to each other right now over great distances and virtualize ourselves, they're not wrong.
No, I agree. You know, it's funny. I know you, I said this last time, I spent 20 years in Hollywood, and I'll tell you right now, I don't know how, and it happens to be Spielberg a lot, oddly enough, but there are three movies that I always look at and I say, okay, well, if you want to know what they know, go watch AI, Minority Report, and Ready Player One. I don't know why all three are Spielberg. I have my theories, but that's for a different show. But the truth of the matter is that they're not, this has been long game. These movies aren't, they don't come out of nowhere. These thoughts, because we are, I think, way past Minority Report, certainly past what we saw in AI, which was actually a short story written in the 60s that Kubrick was going to make. But if you look at these movies, what they're telling you is exactly what these people are creating in many ways. And it's very, very scary. And you can't really look at it. A lot of people watch those movies from a distance thinking like, never would that happen in real life. I still, you know, it's funny when you're talking, when you were like, I don't know what we're going to do. I always think of They Live. Like, can't we just go pull the plug like they did in Live, but we're way past,
you know,
that.
Real quick, They Live, the very, very, very last scene, I think it actually comes after the credits, but the very, very, very last scene in They Live is one of my favorite scenes and my favorite lines in all of cinema. Do you remember it?
No, you can tell my audience.
What's the matter, baby?
Oh, yeah.
The best ever. I'll leave it at that. Hopefully lure the audience into watching the whole movie to get there again. And I'm sure most have probably already seen it, so rewatch it.
Yeah, no, They Live is really a shocking movie. But all these movies I'm talking about, they are, if you watch them now, you have to understand, like, this didn't come out of nowhere. I've done whole shows on like the whole CIA and DARPA and all them and their relationships with Hollywood. But we really have to understand, this isn't a game. This isn't Hollywood. This isn't cool. It's even funny because we're probably around the same age. If you look back all the way to like War Games and you think about it, that was a computer simulation running by itself, and they didn't know how to stop it. That was in the 80s. Like, people have to understand, a lot of what we're dealing with now, this isn't new. This has been a long, long game. Let me ask you about something else that's kind of on a different topic, but I know you'll probably know the answer. There is somebody who's a very huge billionaire behind a lot of the LGBTQ stuff out there. I'm sure you know about her, formerly him. That has been very, very vocal about not just transhumanism, but, you know, eternal life and all other things, named Martine Rothblatt. Was a man, is a woman now, very funds a lot of the transhumanism stuff, also started what's the company?
Terrasim.
Yeah. And so they're creating all kinds of crazy stuff over there. This person has so much power and so much money, also created satellite radio,
Sirius XM.
So this is a very, very advanced person. She in particular, and I think Kurzweil, have been working together for 20 years. And nobody's really looking at their part of what's going on here. But a lot of people say that she's like the you know, godfather of transhumanism. What are they doing? Because that has something to do with like the future and living forever and other stuff. What is that about? Just for a little side note of what's going on with transhumanism, whatever they're doing over there, people definitely aren't looking at.
Rothblatt features prominently in the book in a number of sections, mostly just woven in when needed, because so many of it's very difficult. Just on a quick side note, yeah, I know, I appreciate the defiant insistence on calling like a dude who became a woman him, but it's really weird to see somebody that's all did up with like, you know, the full setup and be like, that's a dude. At the same time, it's very difficult when somebody's done with the full, you know, but you know that it used to be a dude, to be like, that's a woman. So
yeah,
I'm not going to say they, but let's just say that I'm very miffed to be put in this situation, not by you, but these people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that just using their last names over and over again, or maybe they should have no name. Anyway, Rothblatt.
It's part of it, though. Isn't it part of what they're doing? Isn't it part of the accepting of that which is unreal, which isn't normal, which isn't sane? I mean,
It not only is it really annoying, but it's also menacing.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I bring her up particularly, and all of them, because there is a level of the LGBTQ push, the transhuman, that's connected to the transhumanism situation and kind of the no gender. I mean, this is a whole nother level, and you do talk about it in your book, but I do want to mention that this is a whole nother side of this that's outside of us that is very dangerous, I think.
The whole quest to escape biology, whether oftentimes they're directly connected, or whether it's just coming from the same impulse, to get away from, male female relationships, to get away from childbirth, to get away from one's own physical sex, right, into some other gender made up or real, or whatever, normal. And all those things, you see first the kind of conceptual shift, you see the concepts that come out of traditional understandings of nature being shattered and then filled in with whatever any particular group decides is the better way forward. It's worth mentioning before go back to Rothblatt. It's worth mentioning, I did a debate and a discussion with Max Moore and his wife, Natasha Vita Moore. Max Moore, known for making transhumanism a common term, right? It began, of course, with Julian Huxley,
right.
But Max Moore really is the one who took it and gave it its definition as we think of it now, right? Human enhancement, biological interventions, kind of cyborg symbiosis with machines, potential for radical life extension. Of course, he is part of the Alcor Life Extension Organ Foundation, where they freeze corpses in the hopes of resurrecting them. There's many frozen there now in Arizona. So,
wow.
Max Moore is totally, one thing that he said to me, both in private and during our discussion, that he felt like I did represent him in his words and what he said accurately, but he was very, very unhappy with being associated with the World Economic Forum, being associated too heavily really with Silicon Valley, certainly with like woke culture. He's a libertarian. A lot of transhumanists are libertarians. You aren't like it is not wrong to say that there is a direct connection between transgenderism and transhumanism. Martine Rothblatt makes that very explicit,
right,
in the book From Transgender to Transhuman.
Right.
But the movement itself, from its origin, is split out in all these different directions. And so Max Moore, while I don't think anyone would accuse him necessarily of being anti-transgender or anything like that, he's got really no time for the wokeness. He's got no time for PC, and isn't really into the whole concept of creating like AI gods. He would prefer it, maybe he wouldn't put it this way, but he would prefer to become a god himself by way of technology, right? And in many ways, it's out of his hands now. The ideas that he generated and put the stamp on have just simply radiated out, and there's nothing he could do about it. But real quick on Martine Rothblatt, this is really important on that branch, on the woke branch, and she is definitely the woke branch of transhumanism and transgenderism and all that. Rothblatt, founder of SiriusXM, a helicopter pilot, I believe, or airplane pilot, man's man, turned into a woman, is now, founder, as you just mentioned, of the Terrasim religion. It's nonprofit status of a religion. And now sits on the board of Mayo Health Clinic, right? I mean, who else but someone who wants to transmute human beings into digital immortal life forms and, sees no, Rothblatt oftentimes compares the current status of robots to apartheid. Rothblatt, in addition to arguing that transgenderism is a precursor to much greater, more cyborg-like fusions of human beings and technology, Rothblatt also argues that AIs and human uploads should now, and certainly in the near future, have legal rights, that there should be, you know, an amendment to the Constitution, or at least a sort of civil rights movement, new civil rights movement for cyborgs, right, uploads, and AIs. Now, that's something that's very ridiculous on its face, but at the very least, I think that something like PETA is going to come out of that, so that you have people who are always running around being annoying, and, you know, somebody turns off their computer, maybe they beat up the human, I don't know. But it's, you know, you just seeing how insane university culture has become, seeing our own military with dudes wearing dog masks for professional photos. I don't necessarily think it's beyond the pale that within a decade, especially as these AI systems get better and better and better, that people like Rothblatt will get their way to some extent in some places. And I don't know exactly how it would take shape, but maybe it would be illegal to abuse an AI. Maybe it would be illegal if somebody simply had like googly goggles that were recording everything at all times to tell them to get the fuck, sorry, you just to tell them to hit the bricks, because they're like, no, I'm a cyborg, I have rights, I have the right to record you. Because
I think that's part of it. Being. I totally think that's part of it. I really do. And honestly, I think that it's about redefining what humanity is at all. The whole concept, the fake concept of human rights being given to you or not given to you will be totally, you know, washed out. Also, don't forget that she is very aligned with also Jennifer Pritzker, a former man in the military who now is of the billionaire Pritzker family. So when I say that there's a globalist group of billionaires that are funding a lot of this and funding the technology and pushing it with both the LGBTQ plus and the transhumanism, they don't hide. That is the other thing about this. They don't hide. And the thing that you're saying now too, that I really think is important for people to understand, is that, people are so easily lulled into what looks like convenience, and it's going to be a lot of people's downfall, even with the currency. And, you know, I think a lot of what's going on, it's a whole nother conversation, but a lot of what's going on with the open borders will lead to, well, we need a global digital ID. And then that goes to here, and then that's in your phone. And then, you know, you're basically in the prison. As for the Rothblatt thing, the other thing that's scary too, and I know you write about this a lot, I cannot recommend your book more. People that do not are way behind the ball on what is going on with technology and your rights, because this has a lot to do with your rights. You brought up earlier in the conversation, and I've seen you talk in other places. Obviously I watch a lot of Bannon as well. What we have coming up in 2024 has a lot of implications, a lot of implications. I feel that if the globalists take over in 2024, we are talking about the, you know, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, a lot of other things will no longer be in America, in my opinion. But you brought up before that about Donald Trump and that maybe he, unlike the rest of the Uniparty, would actually try to do some things to slow this down, or at least make informed consent, or at least have people be able to opt out and fully understand this. If you were, say that happened and he was elected, and he's been watching you obviously on Bannon for the last 3 years, and he called you up and said, what, you know, Joe, come to my office, let's talk about the dangers of all of this stuff. What would you advise, say, if you were on some kind of working group in the new Trump administration that was concerned with everything that we've discussed on this phone? What would some of your recommendations be to him about maybe curtailing some of this or slowing it down? What's the most dangerous things? Where would you start?
The foundational level, and I don't talk much about legislation because it's not my forte, right? I'm much more focused on the cultural and really religious sides of this. But to the extent that I have thought about this and formulated it, the very first thing that I would say is data rights. So that data privacy rights would be implemented, and no corporation without explicit consent could scrape your data for any reason. And that would also mean that the fine print of terms and conditions would no longer simply be acceptable for scooping up people's rights, because I think it's pretty well known that that is kind of like the Marlboro Man was to signaling to people there might be problems with cigarettes, right?
Exactly.
It's maybe a bad analogy, but it's phony.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. It's just, it was cool, Dana, so why not do it? Yeah.
data, there's absolute data ownership as well. So to the extent that you give up your data, that you would be able to own the data and make money off of it. I've oftentimes compared it to, without data privacy, it's literally like having some pervert sitting in your room watching you do everything from the bedroom to the bathroom. If you're going to do that, if you're going to give a striptease, you want money put in the thong. So you're going to need data ownership in order to at least make good on any data that is being made, they are making a profit off of on your head. The next would definitely be just any programs, and this is going to be one that's going to be very contentious because it's so different from different quarters, but any program that seeks to completely overhaul an institution with mass digitization that is publicly funded, that public funding should be cut at least without a lot of oversight and a lot of input from the populace. So a good example of this would be the mass digitization of the public education system.
Right.
And the just completely reckless and irresponsible introduction of e-learning as a standard model, or hybrid learning, or whatever. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of hybrids out of hybrid learning. I think that those sorts of things, they are being worked out right now. And a lot of it is people pulling their kids out and homeschooling them. But to the extent any public institution undergoes mass digitization, I think the more predatory elements that are inherent in digitization, from everything from spying to manipulation, have to be completely eradicated from them. That's not realistic, but that has to be the goal. And it has to be done on the behalf of the people who are voting these people into power.
Right.
Josh Hawley is, I think, probably our top guy on our side on that. What's his name? Ro Khanna?
Yeah, on the left, yeah.
On the Democratic side is also really, really intelligent, really sharp, really good. Last but not least, and again, I'm very, very reluctant to offer any kind of political advice to anybody, let alone Donald Trump. Donald, you got to listen to me, man. But
yeah, he should.
But I also think, this issue of AI safety and AI regulation, number one, the regulation should not be solely crafted by the companies that are working towards artificial general intelligence or artificial godlike intelligence, AGI. Right. That sort of regulatory capture has been typical throughout the country's history, from big pharma to big agriculture, so on and so forth. That shouldn't happen again here. And I think that the big thing is going to be the public consent to a society that is in any way organized around artificial intelligence. It already is now, right? We already have the dominance of algorithms, which is why I think that mostly any legislative attempts are going to be limp-wristed at best.
Right.
But I do think that if you look at public polling, it's really interesting. A very sizable minority wants things like brain chips. A very sizable minority wants things like genetic engineering. A very sizable minority, at least according to very small scale samples, are convinced that AI is or will soon be conscious. But a huge proportion, going from issue to issue, at least equal and oftentimes larger, are not for it. And I think that one of the reasons that people, the science fiction scenarios you just mentioned before, one of the reasons that people are not more concerned about the implications of these technologies that are rolling out right now, whether it be through mandate or whether it be through commercial persuasion.
Yep.
What we have is basically a conspiracy to make science fiction reality. And the public is primed, at least a big portion of the public is primed to think of these science fiction scenarios in terms of superheroes and in terms of, a friendly sort of machine. Another proportion is primed to think of it as all of this as being nightmarish. They see Gattaca and Terminator, whereas the other side sees, I hate comic books.
Iron Man or Marvel, some of them.
I think that some of the resistance or some of the naivety on the part of the populace is due to the science fiction realm really priming the public psyche for the actual technologies.
Right.
The second problem is that really sensational headlines, I think, deaden the impact of the actual technologies as they come on. So over the, you know, last summer, everybody was talking about AI is going to kill everybody. And I was very, very careful. I was very diligent about reporting the viewpoints of, say, Eliezer Yudkowsky or Jeffrey Hinton or someone like that. But I never, you know, I never said what you need to worry about is AI coming to kill everybody. I was very, very explicit in this. People oftentimes forget that the real issues are going to be AI in education. The real issues are going to be AI used as surveillance over the digital system. The digital currency system. The real issues are going to be AI used to fast track different biological concoctions, from mRNA injections to actual full board, you know, CRISPR based gene therapies. And as AI is used for those things, and people are worried about, you know, I don't, nanobot swarms appearing on the horizon and turning them into goo, they're going to miss all of these really important impacts. So I think that that needs to be the focus. And so whatever legislation is crafted in response, I know this was long winded. Sorry, I didn't.
No, I love it. No, this is important. People have to understand it on a level that they can grasp. You know, it's hard for people to get this. I think you're really, that's a gift that you have right now in this conversation. Yeah.
In regard to artificial intelligence regulation, the most important thing is going to be to have a decently informed public, which is happening slowly but surely, and to have some type of response from the public guiding this, or, you know, even if it's the nationalization model where, you know, you have a citizen-led board, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The big question, unlike with mass immigration, unlike with LGBT, you know, standards in academia and the corporate world, unlike digital surveillance systems put everywhere, the public was not consulted, and by and large, the public didn't want it. If you're going to go so far as to elevate corporations who claim to be creating a god in a data center, then I think at the very least, we should be asked our opinion. And I think that by and large, the majority are going to say no. And that should go forward to any further legislation. But again, the political system is already so corrupt, so ineffective. Yeah. I don't think that that's going to be our salvation.
Yeah, I think the answer is what you just said, is people being informed, aware, and fighting by themselves in their own groups, which I've been talking about for quite some time. We can be the oversight commission, because our uniparty is not in any way, shape, or form going to be fighting for us. You brought up a couple people that do, but honestly, this is going to be about knowledge and power, which is why they're trying to control the narrative so that, you know, people don't get heard, don't get out there that are telling the truth. And you know, the psychological warfare that we're in is totally crazy. Joe Allen, you are doing incredible work. There are not many of you out there. So I highly recommend that people not only buy Dark Aeon and read it and give it to your friends and family, I assure you that it will change your mind. It will also help you protect yourself and your family, be informed, be educated, and also see it when it happens. If you read that book, then you'll start to see it in the news. And when you are looking through websites and stuff, words will pop out at you that you just glanced over before and thought, that doesn't affect me. A lot of this does affect you, and it's really important work. Joe Allen, where else can they find you?
I'm going to be doing a tour across the nation, a lecture tour beginning in Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and going down to Nashville, Tennessee, out into the hinterlands of California, LA, and that area. So you can find the tour schedule on my website, jobot.xyz. It should be right at the top. If you are a social media slave like me, you can find me Twitter and Gitter at @JoeBotXYZ. Of course, on Bannon's War Room, and I encourage you to pick up a copy of Dark Aeon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. That's Aeon. You can find it at bookshop.org is the best indie book outlet, but everywhere else, books are sold. Cool. Mel, I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I think you're just brilliant. And honestly, people have to understand this is not a game. This is reality and it's real life. And it's really important that you get informed and you inform everyone you know. His book is required reading as far as I'm concerned. And thank you so much, Joe. The work you're doing is incredible. There aren't many people out there. And it's also very brave. You know, the people that are funding this are you know, the same people that would like to control all of us. So God bless you and keep fighting the good fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. God bless.
I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. We feel like we're coming down with something, we'll double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared. And that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a Kid Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page, goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who's dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They mattered to him. They mattered to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof, it's cancel proof, it's truth, it's transparency, it's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started.